If you would please turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, I'm going to read from the first chapter, the first 14 verses. Please keep your hand here. This is my text. I will be back. And as I read it, I will remind you that this is the Word of God. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved son, that's son in the faith, not physical son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you even as I recall your tears so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and then your mother Eunice, and I am sure that is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard of me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Let's pray. The Father, as we read this, we kind of feel that we're intruding on a very personal letter. This is Paul's last letter. These are his last words. He's writing to his beloved son, his protege, his preacher boy. And he recalls apparently the tears that Timothy cried as Paul was taken prisoner and finds himself in Rome awaiting execution. And he wants Timothy not to be ashamed of the Lord or of Paul himself simply because he's in prison. But he reminds Timothy he's in prison because of the testimony of the Lord Jesus. But Lord, as he sits in this prison cell waiting his fate, which he knows is sealed, he's convinced. He knows who he has believed. He knows that his soul, which has been entrusted to the Lord, will be guarded by the Lord. He was convinced of his salvation. He had assurance of his eternal condition. And he wanted Timothy to understand that because Timothy has also been entrusted with the gospel. So, Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom this morning as we look at these final words, as we look at the confidence of the Apostle Paul that his salvation was complete, that his soul was secure. And, Lord, those of us who are trusting in the finished work of Christ, we would also see that we could have this assurance also. So Lord, open our eyes and our hearts and our minds, I pray. Amen. I don't know if Timothy struggled with his faith or not. There seems to be some evidence that perhaps he did. I don't know if Paul wrote verse 12 specifically to reassure Timothy. Verse 12 says, "For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard that what I have entrusted to him until that day." That day would be the judgment day, the day of eternity. It wouldn't surprise me if Timothy did struggle with his assurance because he came to faith as a fairly young man. Look at verse 5. "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt with your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that is in you as well." Look at chapter 3, verse 15. "And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So Timothy appears to have been saved as a young person, maybe even a preteen or in his teenage years. It certainly is not unusual for those of us who came to faith young in life to have moments in which we question our salvation. It's not unusual for any Christian, perhaps, to have moments of doubt. I believe I came to faith as a six-year-old boy, as my dad led me to the Lord and explained to me the gospel. But I always hasten to add this, because this has often come up. My hope and faith is not in a prayer I prayed when I was 6 years old. My hope and faith is in Christ Jesus. I believe I'm a Christian because I believe in Christ today, right now. Paul was showing Timothy that Christ will keep that which we have committed to him. Now, doubt, by the way, is not unbelief, but I do believe that this passage shows us that we can for sure know that we are saved. Now, as I had mentioned in my prayer, this book is the last thing Paul ever wrote. He's sitting in prison, awaiting his execution. And not too many days, Emperor Nero will have Paul's head on the chopping block. Look at chapter 4. Verse 6. "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all those who love his appearing." Look at verse 18. "The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Verse 21, he adds this note, "Make every effort to come before winter." So he wants Timothy to visit him before winter. Now, part of that is because he lacked a proper coat, but I think part of it was he wasn't sure that he would survive the winter. He didn't know how long he had left to live. So here's a man who's in prison, who is suffering, who's worried about the elements, who realizes his time is short. And he says in verse 12, "For this reason I suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he's able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day." So in spite of his circumstances, in spite of his reality, in spite of the fact that after a lifetime of preaching the gospel, a lifetime of faith, where he finds himself in prison, knowing he's going to die, he says, I still know that I am a Christian. I still know that Jesus saves. What gave him this assurance? What convinced Paul of this? Well, in this section we see several things. Number one, your salvation is as sure as God's promises. Your salvation is as sure as God's promises. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus. For those in Christ, the promise is life, life eternal. Familiar verses, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Next. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death unto life. That's a promise. Next. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Next. They said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved and your household. Okay, this is the promise which he made to us, eternal life. God has promised that those who trust Christ will live eternally, will live in fellowship with him. That's a promise of God. Your salvation is as sure as God's promises. There's the promise of eternal life for those who are trusting in Christ. God's promises are backed by divine power. Verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. The promises are backed by divine power. I don't have the power to keep every promise I make. I try to keep my word. I try to live up to my commitments, but sometimes things are outside my power. I'll say, hey, I'll be there Tuesday at 4 o'clock, I promise. And then my car breaks down on the way, right? I promised, but I don't have the ultimate power to make sure that I can fulfill my promise. God does. If God has said those who trust in Christ, those who put their faith in the finished work of Christ, will be saved, then he can carry that out. He can fulfill that. Turn towards the end a few pages to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. First Peter 1:5, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation to be revealed in the last time. Again, very similar to what Paul writes here. We are protected by the power of God for that imperishable, undefiled inheritance that will not fade away. It is reserved in heaven for us. Your salvation is as sure as God's promises. For those who put their faith and trust in Christ, your salvation is as sure as God's promises, because God's promises are backed up by divine power. Now go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. God's promises are backed up by divine purpose. Look at verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus for all eternity. God saved you for a purpose. God saved you for a reason. And that purpose will be fulfilled. God's purposes cannot be thwarted. For those who are in Christ, for those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, his purpose for you will be fulfilled. Keep your hand here. Go towards the front a little bit to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3, Ephesians 1, 3, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoptions as sons through Christ Jesus to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him, by the way, again, this is all people who are in him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our transgressions according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of time, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens, things on the earth. In him also you have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. God saved you for a reason. He saved you for a purpose. Those purposes will not be thwarted. For those who are in Christ, those who are in him, your salvation is as sure as God's promises. His promises are backed up by his power. His promises are backed up by his purpose. Go back to 2 Timothy. Not only is your salvation as sure as God's promises, your salvation is as sure as God's grace. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Your salvation is as sure as God's grace. This grace, this gift of grace, is yours through the completed work of Christ. Look at verse 10 again. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, notice, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It's because of the finished work of Christ, who abolished death, who imparts to us new life. Because of this grace, we can know we're saved. Your salvation is as sure as God's grace. 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered to you as of first of importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, when he said as he died for our sins, what sins did he die for? Well, all of them, right? I often ask people, when Christ died for your sins, how many sins had you committed? Well, you weren't even around yet, right? We think, well, Christ just died for my past sins. Well, no, when Christ died, all your sins were future. His grace is sufficient. His work on the cross is sufficient. This gift of grace is yours because of what Christ did. Go back to our text, 2 Timothy 1, verse 14. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. This is the gospel. The gift of grace is yours through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The gift of grace is yours through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When Christ saved me, he gave me the Holy Spirit. I'm indwelt with the Spirit. That is his gift of grace to me. That is the treasure that he has given me. I had read earlier from Ephesians chapter 1. Let me read two more verses. Verse 13 says, "In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory." We have been given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guards us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. So far we have that God has saved us because of his promises. We have the Holy Spirit. We have that Christ has saved us through his completed work on the cross. And now the Holy Spirit saves us. Your salvation is the result of the Trinity at work in your life. This is why I could trust Christ with my salvation. This is why I could trust Christ with my soul. Because the Trinity is involved in it. 1 Peter again. 1 Peter 1, we had read verse 5. Let's read 2 through 5. "Who are protected by the power of God," 2 through 5, "according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time." So, your salvation is as sure as God's promises. Your salvation is as sure as God's grace. Lastly, your salvation is as sure as God's character. Verse 12 again, 2 Timothy 1:12. "For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed." Okay? "And I am convinced that he who he has believed is able to guard that which I have entrusted unto him until that day." When we entrust our souls to God through the faith of Jesus Christ, God's character guarantees that we cannot lose that. Paul's Christian experience, you know, when you think about it, was not all that positive. I already mentioned he's sitting in jail. He's been beaten, persecuted, betrayed, hungry, broke. Yet he was still convinced he was a child of God. Not on his circumstances, but on God's character. We know what we know to be true about God convinces us of our salvation. Turn to Romans 1. Romans 8:1. Romans 8:1, "Therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." For those who are in Christ Jesus. Look down at chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yea, rather, who has been raised, who is at the right hand of the Father, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now go back to verse 36. When Paul's addressing salvation here and the love of Christ, he quotes Scripture. What does he quote? Does he quote something about your life's going to be easy? God's goal is to make you happy. God's goal is to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. What does he quote? Verse 36, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long or considered as sheep to be slaughtered. That's not much of an advertising slogan, right? Come to Jesus and you're liable to get slaughtered. But nothing, not death, not persecution, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Our salvation is as sure as God's character. What we know to be true about God convinces us of our salvation. It convinced Paul. He says, I know whom I have believed. I know who I am trusting in. I know upon that which I've put my faith. We'll go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 13. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. So, in verse 12, the hymn, I believe, is God is able to guard what I've entrusted to him. In verse 13, it's Christ is able. What we know to be true about Jesus Christ convinces us of our salvation. I mean, what do we know about Christ? He imparts life to us. He lives in us. He sanctifies us. He shares his righteousness with us. He gives us life. What else can we need? What else can we ask for? Verse 14, 2 Timothy 1:14. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. What we know to be true about the Holy Spirit convinces us of our salvation. He helps us. The Spirit indwells us. The Spirit seals us. The Spirit guards us. The Spirit intercedes for us. The Spirit baptizes us into Christ. He sanctifies us. He comforts us. He gifts us and more. I have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. What I know about the Holy Spirit is enough to convince me the salvation is secure. What I know about the finished work of Christ and his being baptized into his death and walking in newness of life assures me. What I know about God, who nobody can overpower or separate me from, assures me. Your salvation is the result of the Trinity at work in your life. Now, whenever we deal with topics like this, certain things come up. That doesn't mean that there's no need for evidence in your life. We have all encountered, I certainly have, someone who shows no spiritual interest, no spiritual growth, no spiritual life, and they tell me, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I got saved 40 years ago. Or, yeah, I prayed a prayer 20 years ago. and there's no evidence. Here's what I always say. If you're trusting in a prayer and not trusting in Christ, then you don't have much to go on. How do I know I'm a Christian? Because I am trusting Jesus Christ. Not that I prayed a prayer, but because there's evidence in my life. Look what he says in verse 13. After just telling us in verse 12 that Timothy could be confident, he says in verse 13, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me and the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. All right, so Timothy's in, has faith and love for Christ, and he should show it by living it. Retain that standard of sound words which you've heard. Listen to the gospel. Listen to the word. Act upon it. Same thing with verse 14. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, the treasure which has been entrusted to you. So the basis of assurance is not that I prayed a prayer. It's that I'm trusting in Christ. Does your life show that you are walking in the Spirit? That Christ is a reality in your life? If there's no evidence that you're walking in the Spirit, that you have the life of Christ within you, I don't think you have it. I don't think you have any grounds for assurance. Now, I want to make the distinction. We may doubt ourselves, but we should never doubt our God. We may doubt ourselves, but we should never doubt our God. His promises are sure and true. Are you trusting the finished work of Christ? That is the answer to the question. Are you trusting the finished? How can I know I'm saved, Pastor Greg? Are you trusting the finished work of Christ? Does your life show it? Let's pray. My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and his righteousness. The only way to stand before you, Father, is in the righteousness of Christ. Lord, my prayer, the Bible says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. My purpose is not to give anybody false assurance. But Lord, I do think it boils down to, am I at this moment trusting in Christ? Am I at this moment showing I trust in Christ? But Lord, if we are, then we don't need to doubt. We don't need to fear. We can face death bravely. We can contemplate life after death confidently. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have done their work in my life. I will fulfill that purpose. Not based upon deeds of righteousness which I have done, but in Christ who is our life. Amen.